Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:05 on The Fan, and a very good Wednesday morning to the midday show. Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here. Of course, the 1 o'clock CMB will come your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli meats and cheeses, only at ShopRite. You know, we'll get to all the sports, but of course, today is September 11th. It's the 18-year anniversary of the worst day I can ever remember in the history of this country. And I've been around a while now. You know, it's, I don't know what to say. You know, there's so much noise that is out there today in the world. We'll leave it at that. And sometimes we lose sight of, you know, what really is important and what really went down and what happened, you know, the attack, the vicious attack on this country from 18 years ago. And that's something we can never forget. You know, and every day I come in here and we're only blocks away from, you know, where the World Trade Center used to be. I mean, we're only, you know, the Twin Towers. We're not that far away. We're probably not even a mile away from it. You know, we could easily walk here now to the Freedom Tower. And every day that I see that Freedom Tower coming into the city or when I'm outside, whatever it is, I'm always reminded by what happened, you know, those 18 years ago. So it's a day that we'll never forget. There's no question about it. It's a day that we should always remember, even as sadly as it was, and all the people that were affected, all the people that were killed on that tragic day. So 18 years ago today, bro, I know you remember it well. I know it's your birthday of your son as well.
I know.
How about that?
9/11 has new meaning for me 3 years ago when my son was born. But I think back to, obviously, the lives that we lost, innocent lives, the heroes that went into a building trying to save people, knowing they were going to die. Probably knowing they were going to die. And now I think about the heroes that are suffering from it all these years later. And I also think about how, for you and for me, we remember it. We remember every detail about it, every detail of that day, the shock, the horror, and every anniversary since. And I'm starting to think that anybody who is under the age of 25 doesn't remember it. And as time goes by, and I'm sure your parents dealt with it after Pearl Harbor, or the assassination of a president, John F. Kennedy.
Well, I was there for that one, too.
As time goes by, you start to realize, wow, there's a lot of people on this earth that know it as history. They don't know it from an experience.
Right, right.
And that does hit me every year that goes by, that as we get further away from that horrific day, the worst day, of course, in my lifetime in American history.
There's no question.
I start to think that there is a generation now of kids, maybe even kids listening right now. We got probably 21-year-old listening right now saying, I've heard about it, but I didn't experience it.
And I think there's a lot of young kids that just don't realize the magnitude of what really happened that day. And you know, maybe don't look at it in the light it needs to be looked at. Let me say that as well.
No, and it's tough because I learned about Pearl Harbor in history class, right? But when I would talk to my grandfather, who then served in the Navy, both of them, it was a little bit different than me learning about it in history class. It's just, it's so different when you experience it. And the world changed that day. We all know that. It's a different world now. You know what I also think about? And I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, so it was a different aspect of the attack. They got attacked, too, in Northern Virginia with the Pentagon. What I remember is for a week, not a day, a week, people wouldn't cut each other off. I experienced this driving into work. No one would honk their horn. It was the most unified I have ever seen all of us.
No question about it.
I don't know if that will ever happen again.
No
doubt. But that is one of the memories I have, not just of that day, but of the week, maybe even more than a week that went by, where there was this connection we all had, where it was like the most peaceful thing I've ever seen between fellow Americans, where, you know, little things that usually anger us wouldn't anger us, because I think the big picture told us none of this matters. What matters is what happened on that Tuesday in September.
Yeah, and it's a day I'll never forget as well, because I got my story. I was doing the overnight back then. And I remember it was the day after, I think it was opening weekend of the NFL. The Giants played the Broncos on that night in 2001, lost to Denver that night. I remember that. And, you know, Monday into Tuesday. And I was doing the overnight. And I remember coming home and, you know, I go to sleep. Okay. So while everything is going down, I'm sleeping. And I'll never forget, my wife, who was working at the time, Terry was working at the time, comes home like it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, what are you doing home? And she told me what happened. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was like stunned when she told me, you know, what had gone down. And I'll never forget that, like just that moment. Like, and it always bothered me that I actually slept through that. I got to tell you, I wish I was up to actually see what was going down as it was going down. And I got out of New York probably, you know, well, a couple hours before actually it all happened. It happened, what, 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever it happened. But I'll never forget it.
The
never,
development
ever, ever.
Of that day when you saw it live was the most surreal experience you'll ever have.
I'm sure.
Because at first, I was waking up. I worked in Washington at the time. I worked at XM Radio when they were separate. You know, now it's Sirius XM. It was just XM Radio. And before I would go do my radio show, I would take a community college class. So I was driving to community college, and I was listening to the description of everything that was going on. And I never thought for a second, when the first plane hit, there was a terrorist attack. I thought naively, wow, what a plane accident. I think that's what a lot of us thought.
Right, as I'm driving,
I'm hearing a second plane. And now for some reason, I went to class. I don't know why I went to class. And it hit me at class because my professor was this 85-year-old woman, very nice woman, older lady, and she couldn't get through the class. She was crying the entire time. She would stop in the middle. And I remember at one point she said, you know, I've seen it all. And this is horrible. And she was just describing it that way. And that's when it really started to hit me. I saw this woman who had been on this earth for so long expressing what she was experiencing from this day. And we still didn't really know everything and what was happening. And it was just surreal as the hours went on, having it go into our head that we were attacked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was just thought of, we don't get attacked.
Right. Yeah.
We're America.
No, absolutely.
This doesn't happen here.
Yep.
And so, man, it was...
And even today, I mean, the people that have been affected, as you've said, that, you know, maybe, you know, it didn't happen that day, but, you know, because they were in contact with it, maybe they were the first responders, they were in the area, whatever it was, that have now contacted whatever, cancer, whatever, years later, just from that. I mean, so you even have that residual, all the fallout years later from that disaster.
Yeah, we're still feeling it to this day. And we think about everybody who may not have perished on that day, but suffered because they were a hero on September 11th. So we always
think of you. And the families who lost people who passed away.
They feel that forever.
Yep.
So we think of all of you. And sports was a great distraction after 9/11. We remember all the moments, whether it was the Met Brave game, the Piazza home run, the World Series, President Bush not just going to the mound with the jacket on, but throwing a perfect strike.
Remember that.
A little bit of pressure on. And then obviously a classic World Series in 2001. So sports helped heal us. And that's what sports still does.
Yep.
You know, with the real world, which sometimes can be so sick and depressing, sports can sometimes heal us and distract us. And that's what it did last night. It distracted Yankee fans. They got frustrated that they threw all these pitchers out there. None of them, with the exception of two, will even be on their postseason roster, and they lost the game to Detroit. And that's what you got to tell yourself if you're a Yankee fan. Sure, you lost to the Tigers. Sure, you gave up a million runs. Of the eight pitchers they used, six of them will probably not be on the playoff roster. Ottavino will be there, and he wasn't helped out by the Sanchez pass ball. Britton will be there. He was fine. But all the others, Nestor Cortez, even Luis Sessa, Corey Guerin, guys like that, Chance Adams, the guys that lost the game last night for the Yankees, they're here to just give you innings in September. They're not going to be throwing big innings in October. So I get it's frustrating whenever you lose to a bad team, especially if you're into this race for the best record in baseball. And the Astros did get destroyed last night.
Well, they actually, how about that? I mean, how about Oakland after they lose, what was it, 21-1 or something like that? And then 15-0, they come back and beat them 21-7.
I know, crazy.
That's nuts.
It was 7-0 in the first inning.
That's amazing.
And I'm just going to make up a stat because it sounds cool. This is the first time in the history of baseball that the the most runs ever given up by two teams with the best record in the American League on the same day. 34 runs
That's
given
crazy.
Up. 33 with the A's and the
and
Yankees.
And I think that what you said about the Yankees and who was in this game last night tells you that the Yankees getting home field advantage, they'd like to have it, but it's not that big a deal.
No, and you know what? They're right from this aspect. The pitching. Forget about the hitting for a second. Forget about the lineup. And the lineup obviously wasn't a problem last night. Yep. They went out and scored 11 runs. When you score 11 runs, you should win. But their priority is that Adam Ottavino, who's pitched a lot this year, who's been great, he's got a sub-2 ERA, who wore down last year. His biggest problem last year, Ottavino, was he was not great in the second half of the year. They need to keep him fresh. They don't want to pitch him every day. Aroldis Chapman, they got to keep fresh. Tommy Canley's dealing with an injury right now. Zach Britton, they got to keep fresh. So we saw two of those guys last night, but they are right for their priority to be, hey, we have to make sure our relievers are ready to go for October. Home field is a nice thing to get. And I know it's important. I remember 2017, we all do, how much home field advantage mattered. But more than that is getting there. And the one thing you can't do, Joe, is you can't run down Adam Ottavino.
No, of course not.
You can't run these guys down. No,
definitely not.
And so on a night like last night, you saw Nestor Cortez start. You saw Luis Sessa, who could be on the playoff roster, though I don't think any Yankee fan would want him there. I mean, he's shaky for the most part. You saw Chance Adams. You saw Ryan Dahl, of all people. I mean, who the heck is half these guys? So I think in the long run, it makes the most sense. You've got to be ready for October. That's the priority.
Yeah, that is no question about that. No doubt about that. And like I said, it showed last night from the guys that they threw out there. Now, on the other end, we sweated out, us Met fans sweated out this win last night, I'll tell you right now. And great job by Justin Wilson getting a four-out save. Todd Frazier, who, you know, again, as I'm putting the game on, I mean, please, J.D. Davis is not playing and Todd Frazier's playing, but he came through. He got two big doubles last night that turned out to be all the runs, drove in all the runs the Mets would need or would get to win this game last night. Wheeler was solid. They picked up a game on the Cubs. So with 18 games to go, you know, there's still breath for the Mets.
Well, they got to win their games.
There's still breath.
There is a little bit of breath. Their formula has to be this.
Win, win, win.
Well, besides that, but how they win, win, win is the starting pitching's got to go deep in a game.
No question about it.
And you want to only use Justin Wilson and Seth Lugo.
That's it.
That's the formula.
Nobody else.
You don't want to rely on anyone else. They tried to get outs from Brad Brock. He got two outs yesterday, but he also gave up a home run.
He did.
Those are the only two guys in this bullpen you can trust. And the only way you're going to be able to win games by only relying on two relievers who aren't even available every single day. Seth Lugo pitches two innings. Yeah, you don't see him for a week.
That's ridiculous.
It's a problem long term.
It is a problem.
Is they've got to get innings out of their starting pitching.
Yep.
And they got it from Zach Wheeler yesterday.
Yep.
One thing about Wheeler, I know his numbers don't jump out at you. He's had a lot of these, a lot of seven-inning performances.
No doubt about
it. And with a bullpen as lousy as this, it's essential. They didn't score a lot of runs, but Todd Frazier was able to come up big with a couple of hits. You mentioned the two-run double, the RBI double.
And of course, the game ends as it only could, as we're all sitting there as Met fans just waiting for Wilmer Flores to hit the ball out of the yard. Because I'm telling you, that's what you can't tell me there's not a Met fan alive that wasn't thinking that. As that was happening last night.
Well, it was not a perfect ideal situation.
No.
I mean, the last thing you want to see is Wilmer Flores have a chance to beat you.
Right.
But I got to go to that play in the ninth inning.
The play with Alonso?
The Alonso play. I'm very mixed about this play. Now, Mickey Callaway after the game went full throttle saying that Pete Alonso made the right play. What a smart heads-up play by Pete Alonso. I was at the game, but what I've heard is that Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez didn't necessarily agree with that assessment.
Definitely not.
I'm mixed, and here's why I'm mixed. When Alonso makes the play and touches first base, the thing that pops into my mind is, wow, that run can score if they get the runner on first and a rundown. That's in my brain.
Right,
that if Alonso focuses on getting that guy who's caught between first and second, there's a really good chance that the runner from third is going to score.
Right.
And you can't let that happen. Even if the inning ends, you just gave up the lead, right? So from that standpoint, that's a really bad thing. Now it's the bottom of the ninth inning tie game. Who the hell knows what happens from there? So I like the fact that Alonzo was aware of that. That Alonzo's priority was, hey, I better make sure this guy from third doesn't score. Now, did I love the fact that immediately he threw to third base? Is that the right baseball play? I don't think that's the right baseball play, but I do like that his mindset was,
yeah,
hey, I better not let this guy score.
Right.
So I'm mixed about everything that went along with it. I don't agree with Mickey that it was brilliant.
Well, does Mickey ever say anything negative about any player ever? I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, come on. I mean, really, seriously.
It doesn't have to be negative.
He's like
to say,
Butter with the Jets. I mean, there's never anything bad that ever happens.
I know we didn't get to it because Monday was a very busy football day, but I got to share this Mickey story because it's so bad and it's under the radar. Sunday, okay? Going to the Sunday game.
Right. They lose.
They lost in the seventh
inning. That was the 4.5-hour marathon.
Correct. In the seventh inning, the Phillies had second and third with two outs, and the batter was Andrew Knapp, okay, the catcher. The on-deck hitter was the pitcher, a guy by the name of Mike Morin. He was the guy on deck, the relief pitcher.
Right.
Mickey walks Andrew Knapp intentionally, and the Phillies say, okay, cool, we're going to pinch hit for Mike Morin with Bryce Harper, who proceeds to draw a walk.
Right.
At the time, and it's tough to really fully pay attention to it, my reaction is, boy, that's a really weird decision by Mickey. So yesterday, it'd been a couple of days or a day, I was curious, what was Mickey's answer for that? And what was he thinking? You're not going to believe what Mickey said. This is unbelievable. Mickey actually said that the reason he intentionally walked Knapp, even though Harper could come up as a pinch hitter, is he wanted to get Mike Morin out of the game.
Did he really say that?
Mickey! Right. Mike Morin?
Mickey's...
He's lost, Joe.
You know, he's beyond, but I'll tell you one thing, though. He is very creative with the answers he comes. I mean, I give him credit for this. He's always got an answer when he makes a dumb move. You know what I mean?
Except the answers are terrible.
But I give him credit for that. Like he's always got the answer for the dumb move. And the answer usually is dumber than the move.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Well,
I mean,
said.
I mean, you know,
he
it's
makes a bad move worse by his answer.
Oh, man.
Now, last night, I think we all knew, all 35 of us that were at Citi Field, what a terrible crowd.
That's horrible.
There's nobody there.
I mean, it was a nice night. I mean, I couldn't. I'm watching a game home. I'm like, my wife even said, boy, there's nobody at the game.
There were two things about it. Number one, the attendance was awful. It was the third smallest crowd of the year. The only crowds worse were back in April.
Right.
So it's a bad crowd.
Right.
But on the way out, usually when the Mets win a big game, the crowd is chanting. The crowd was silent. It was like I was leaving the U.S. Open. So the Met fans in the building last night.
It was like the Jet game Sunday, except for the Bill fans.
Exactly.
They were happy.
I don't think Met fans believe. I think that's the answer.
The I
fact
think that's
they're
it.
Three games
I,
out?
I think that's it.
I don't think they believe.
Well, I wonder about tonight if you'll see more of a, you know, more of a crowd tonight.
Supposed I don't to think get, so.
You don't think so,
nope.
huh?
Nope. I don't think. Here's what I would think.
How about the Dodgers series will have people in.
That's a weekend against the Dodgers.
Right.
They'll draw well.
Right.
I'm not worried about. I think the midweek game in September is always interesting because kids are back
I
in school.
I bet you the afternoon game will have people.
Tomorrow? Yeah. We'll see. But I looked back at 2016 because 2016 was the other year the Mets were actually in a pennant race. The Mets are very rarely in pennant races.
Right.
Very rarely. Even when they're good, it's usually not a pennant race because they run away with it.
Usually.
So in 2016, I went back and looked at how they drew in mid-September. They were getting 30,000 people. So this is way down from 2016 when they were in that pennant race and eventually won the first wild card spot. And I just think it shows, and I'm not blaming anybody because I don't believe the Mets are going to make the playoffs.
Right.
You ask me? No, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't trust this team. I don't trust this manager.
I mean, how can you?
I don't trust anything.
Well, you can't trust the bullpen.
I don't trust
because,
the
like
bullpen.
Like you said, if it's not Wilson or Lugo and one of those other guys is in there, man, you know, it's prayer.
No doubt.
And, that's what it is.
And the Mets are getting breaks, sure. Javi Baez is done for the year. The Cubs have been struggling.
How about Yelich?
Christian Yelich. I feel horrible for him.
Yep.
He's done for the year, even though the Brewers have played well. So, sure, they're getting breaks in that regard. I don't believe that the Mets are making the playoffs. I just don't believe it. So, I don't blame Met fans for not believing. But clearly, they don't believe. Because yesterday was a freaking morgue.
Yeah.
It was empty.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It was quiet.
Yep.
There was nothing. Yeah. Far cry from those games against the Nationals last month.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you're right, though. I think people feel it's not going to happen. But we'll see. Like, they picked up a game last night. You know, we'll see what happens. Maybe you get a little better crowd tonight. Let's hope so.
And keep this in mind.
There's a chance of thunderstorms tonight.
Oh, is
we'll
there?
Say there is.
Oh, great.
Let me say that. Are you going tonight?
Yes, I'll be there tonight.
You know me. I'm all over the weather.
No, you are.
I'm actually playing golf later.
you're into it.
You know.
It feels like a summer day, too. It's very hot.
Oh, it's hot. It's supposed to be high 80s today.
I love these mid-September games. These are the games I'm more likely to go to because why not? That's why not? Why wouldn't I? What else am I doing at this point? It's tougher during the summer. There's more going on. There's different activities. But during the fall, I love it. I thought that last night when he had Edwin Diaz warming up in the ninth inning, I was thinking to myself, why the hell does he have Edwin Diaz warming up? Is he ever going to go to Edwin Diaz if Justin Wilson got in trouble, which he did?
He probably would have went to him if they fell behind.
Exactly.
That's what he would have done.
And Mickey even admitted that after the game.
Well, look, I give them credit, whether it's Mickey, whether it's Brody, you know, I mean, both of them, whoever it is. They realize you just can't put Diaz in any more big spots.
No.
You can't do it.
No,
you just can't do it.
You have to use him the way they used him Sunday, which was 10-7,
right.
Eighth That's inning,
right.
Whatever inning That's it was. Right. That's when you can use him.
I think the final straw was the other day in that first game when they beat the Phillies. And, you know, when I called you Saturday,
yep.
Friday night,
yep.
And he almost blew that game.
Yeah, I think that was it.
That was it.
I think
that
at
was
this
the
point,
last shot.
He's on this roster.
Right.
He'll pitch.
Right.
But you can't put him in those save situations. Right now, it's going to be Lugo and Justin Wilson.
That's it.
And the problem is, they're not available every night. Mickey even hinted last night.
Who's closing tonight?
Well, he hinted Lugo may not even be available tonight.
So Wilson closes again
tonight? No, I don't think he'll be available tonight.
We need Mats to go 9.
Basically.
Good luck with that.
Or win or be up 13-1.
Well, even then, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah, you never know.
Who am I throwing in there?
You never know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.